Harrison Ford warns of tower closure consequences. The Senate blocks Moran's tower closure amendment, and Apollo rocket engines are recovered from the deep blue sea. This is Aero News for Thursday, March 21st, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Actor, pilot, and general aviation advocate Harrison Ford was invited to join the House Aviation Caucus for an event Tuesday hosted by several of the industry's biggest advocacy groups. Ford, a pilot for more than 20 years, said that flying has given him, quote, great joy, and I hope I can use it to benefit other people, end quote, according to a report appearing in The Hill. In typical Washington fashion, the appearance of a celebrity drew more media than would otherwise have paid attention to the event. The Daily Caller reports that Ford said that if the FAA goes through with a plan to close as many as 238 control towers across the country as a result of sequestration, quote, accidents are going to happen, end quote. The French news service AFP reports that Ford said, quote, this funding mechanism has got some serious problems, end quote, and stressed that closing towers at smaller airports around the country could have a, again quoting, huge impact on small businesses, end quote. While his tone through the meeting was serious, he did say there was a big difference between flying general aviation airplanes and piloting the Millennium Falcon. As Harrison put it, quote, the pay for flying the Millennium Falcon was a lot higher, end quote. Senate leadership blocked Senator Jerry Moran's amendment from being considered on the Senate floor during debate on the continuing funding resolution which passed on Wednesday. The Moran amendment sought to stop the FAA's plans to shutter the contract tower program under the sequestration process. During debate on the floor of the Senate Wednesday, Republican Senator Moran of Kansas said, quote, the real issue here is about the safety of Americans. Once there is an accident and somebody dies and a plane crashes, the question will always be, what if there had been an air traffic control tower there? What if we had left the program in place? End quote. The continuing resolution still has to pass the House, but U.S. News reports that it is unlikely that the House will try to attach any amendments to the bill in order to meet a March 27th deadline. Space Exploration Technologies, or SpaceX, their Merlin 1D engine has achieved flight qualification, a major milestone for the next generation Merlin engine. Through a 28-test qualification program, the Merlin 1D accumulated 1,970 seconds of total test time, the equivalent run time of over 10 full mission durations, and is now fully qualified to fly on the Falcon 9 rocket. SpaceX's testing program demonstrated a ratio of 4-to-1 for critical engine life parameters, such as firing duration and restart capacity, to the engine's expected flight requirements. The industry standard is only 2-to-1. Testing took place at SpaceX's rocket development facility in McGregor, Texas. And while the Merlin 1D anxiously awaits its first trip into space, a couple of engines that have been there and done that are coming home. When the main boosters for the Apollo Saturn V rockets fell into the Atlantic Ocean in the 1960s and 70s, it was probably expected they would never be seen again. The hardware that started men on their journey to the moon sank in 3 miles of water, where they've lain for more than 40 years. That is, until now. Bezos Expeditions reports on its website that they are returning to Cape Canaveral with enough parts to piece together displays of 2 flown F-1 engines. Jeff Bezos writes on the website that it is his hope that the hardware recovered using remotely operated vehicles at a depth of 3 miles will tell the story of how the engines contributed to the space program, including their 5,000-mile-per-hour fall back to Earth and the subsequent impact with the Atlantic Ocean. He said watching the ROVs work underwater was something like watching an EVA in space, until the occasional deep-sea fish swam into view. Bezos said that not all of the serial numbers on the engines are complete, so identifying on which mission they flew may be challenging. He said the next step is to stabilize the components against further corrosion so that they may be put on display where, quote, just maybe it will inspire something amazing, end quote. Ryanair has placed the largest order ever for a European airline with Boeing, agreeing to purchase 175 new Boeing 737-800 aircraft of just under $8 billion in value. The Associated Press reports that the announcement was made in conjunction with a visit Tuesday by Irish Prime Minister Edna Kinney to Washington, D.C. Ryanair is Boeing's biggest European customer for the 737-800, with an existing fleet of 305 of the airplanes. Boeing said in a statement that it is, quote-unquote, delighted that Ryanair has announced a commitment to order 175 next-generation 737-800s for the airline's fleet expansion. When finalized, the agreement will be worth $15.6 billion at list prices and will be posted to the Boeing Orders and Deliveries website as a firm order. When Aero News continues, ALPA reminds pilots of the coming new ATP rules. Another voice joins the Anti-Knives on Board coalition, and making an aerial getaway, almost.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, March 21st. I'm Glenn Moyer. In a message posted on its website, ALPA reminds pilots that new ATP qualifications outlined by the FAA will go into effect on August 2nd of this year. In 2010, the U.S. Congress passed a bill titled the, quote, Airline Safety and Federal Administration Extension Act of 2010, end quote, requiring first officers in FAR Part 121 operations to hold an airline transport pilot or ATP certificate. This bill may also have the effect of requiring all U.S. airline pilots to hold a first-class medical and be at least 23 years old. A degree of uncertainty surrounds this issue for the entire industry because the FAA is expected to publish new regulations that expand upon and clarify the law before it goes into effect. The law is set to take effect on August 2nd, and pilots not holding an ATP by that time may not be allowed to fly. Again, there's that word may. The FAA last year published a notice of proposed rulemaking to modify and create a new, quote, restricted privileges, end quote, ATP. Pilots who are at least 21 years old and have military flight experience or professional flight training from an accredited university could earn the restricted ATP. And the FAA may, there's that word again, also qualify pilots for the restricted ATP if they are 21 and have at least 1,500 hours flight time, even without military or academic training. A final rule on these maybes is expected to come out very near the August 2nd effective date of the law. Teamsters General President Jim Hoffa repeated his strong opposition to the Transport Security Administration's decision to allow knives in the aircraft cabin in a letter sent Monday to TSA Administrator John Pistol. In the letter, Hoffa demanded to know why the administrator did not consult any of the unions that represent flight attendants before moving forward with this proposal. Hoffa's letter noted that while pilots now fly behind reinforced cockpit doors, flight attendants have little protection from knife-wielding passengers wanting to do harm. Hoffa pointed out that self-defense training for flight attendants is voluntary, writing, quote, For the safety of the traveling public, our hardworking flight attendants, pilots, and other airline employees, I implore you to rethink this change in security policy, end quote. The letter was copied to President Obama, Vice President Biden, and members of Congress. A helicopter pilot in Canada, who thought he was making a routine sightseeing flight Monday, wound up as an unwitting accomplice in a prison break, as he was forced at gunpoint to fly to a prison in St. Jerome, north of Montreal, Canada, and help two inmates escape. The New York Times reports that the two inmates attempted to climb up a cable or rope into the aircraft, but one wound up tangled and dangling from it, while the other was hanging onto the landing skid as they cleared the prison fence. The inmate tangled in the rope was slightly injured when the aircraft landed to allow him and the other escapee to get inside. After a flight of about 18 miles, the pilot was told to land the aircraft again in a parking lot. The escapees and their accomplices got into an SUV and took off. The pilot was blindfolded and abandoned with the aircraft. However, the Helos transponder allowed police to track the aircraft, They followed the helicopter to the parking lot and then trailed the SUV until it reached a remote cabin where the two escapees and their accomplices were captured after an exchange of gunfire. The pilot was not injured. So once again, crime, even high-flying crime, does not pay. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.